like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, a lot of NBA Finals aftermath here. I got a couple of stories we can hit outside of that, but I really want to stay here today. Eric Spoelstra, a lot of respect for him, great coach, and I just like what he had to say. He said, there's no regrets on our end about how this series went. There's just some times where you get beat, and Denver was the better basketball team in this series. That's about as hard. I don't know how long it would take me to go through the autopsy of this final game. But I would say that it will probably rank as our hardest competitive, most active defensive game of the season, and it still felt short. You have to tip your hat to them. I said it, but they are one hell of a basketball team. They play the right way. They compete. They are well coached, and they have a strong culture. So for this season, they deserve this. So, Spoelstra, appreciate you. I do. He's genius. The adjustment he made into Game 5 was pissed Nikola Jokic off.
Oh, yeah, that was evident early.
Yeah.
A couple elbows into the chest of some Heat players.
Hey, I applaud the effort. That's what I would try. I didn't think about that. I'm like, why don't you sit in the locker room and say, he has a tendency in the past, he gets a little mad, he lets his temper get the best of him, and he will make about one, maybe two stupid fouls that aren't even real basketball fouls. And he contained himself in the second half. Malone probably talked to him and said, dude, you got to be careful here. They're coming at you. You got to check that anger at the door. Pretty cool here just about this story in ESPN was these pictures of all the Serbian fans celebrating him near the, of course, the borders of Croatia and Hungary, and where local fans were watching the game on a large screen. And they went nuts when Joker said at the end of his post game, he said, it's time to go home. I mean, it's just, it's poetic.
As much
dude.
As we could love him and shower him in adoration, when he gets off the plane in Serbia, it's going to be incredible. Like, we need cameras there.
Yes, that's the real, that's his real home. You know, we talked about it to start the show, but we're fans of his game. And yeah, we've gotten to know him because of his game. These people, a lot of these people grew up watching him and knew who he was well before we did. The Denver Nuggets are plus 475 betting favorites to repeat as NBA champs.
Ooh.
That is incredible. Fresh off
is that
winning.
Like the first time ever?
Ever. When have the when is any Colorado, was it, were the Avs the favorite to win theirs this year? Were they placed as the
probably
odds
not
on?
Last year, but maybe a couple years before they were.
Okay. So the Nuggets, they entered the postseason as the number 6 favorite with 11-1 odds, despite being the top seed in the Western Conference final. But winning the championship, and Joker now is immortalized. They're all believing now. You got to make them believe sometimes.
And for at least the next few hours, Larry and Stanley are hanging out in Ball Arena.
Yeah, somebody had, that's cool. Somebody had said, like, hey, right now, today, 12:09 on June 13th, we are the defending NBA champs, and we are the defending, well, we're not defending, we're the Stanley Cup champs.
Yeah.
But that pretty should cool. end tonight with Vegas. It will end at some point, but the series will end. It'll come down to it. Some NFL news. Buffalo Bills coach Sean McDermott, this is probably good news for you here, Angel, said Tuesday that Stephon Diggs is not at the team's mandatory minicamp. But the wide receiver's agent had a different story. McDermott called Diggs' absence very concerning prior to Tuesday's minicamp. Diggs has missed voluntary workouts. Diggs' agent told ESPN's Adam Schefter that his client is in Buffalo and has been there since Monday morning. He said Diggs took his physical, met with McDermott and general manager Brandon Bean the past 2 days and will be there for the entirety of minicamp. So you got the coach saying he's not there, and the agency saying, yeah, he's there, and he met with you. Who? Somebody is lying here.
Well, the last time we saw Stephon Diggs on the sideline, he was very angrily yelling at
Josh
Allen.
Absolutely. But what? Somebody is boldface lying here. So.
Or is it just a smokescreen for he's holding out?
Maybe. This is a very curious situation. So, all right, there we go. There's the lunch rush. I did a lot of final stuff, but that Diggs thing is interesting because somebody is just flat out not being honest. Which team do you believe really poses the biggest threat to keep the Nuggets from maintaining their dynasty quest? You know, win another one and they're very close to it. Who is that team today? Is it the team we just saw? Does Miami return to the finals? Or is it a Western Conference team you're worried about standing in front of them getting back into the finals?
I can't name a specific team right now, but be interesting to see how the league, you know, when Steph and the Warriors won their first title, the league adjusted. They realized, oh my God, we need to be able to shoot threes to keep pace with this team. You watch the Nuggets team, what do you do? What? You're not going to find another Jokic out there. You're not going to find any center that can defend him unless he's 8 feet tall, which Jokic will probably still put
30. Who's the guy that's probably going to go number one this year? He's like seven.
Wembanyama?
What is he, like seven? He's huge.
He's
7'3" or something.
7+, but a 190.
Yeah.
Soaking wet.
And he can pass a little bit too, right?
I guess. I've never watched him.
I'm not worried about Memphis. Just we don't know
we'll
what
find
this,
out what happens.
We don't know what's going to happen with Ja Morant. I read one report that it was a fake gun.
That's what his teammates were saying. Regardless, you did the same thing again.
Yeah, you're still messing around. Phoenix, no Chris Paul. Did they reload, firing, you know, moving on from Monty Williams?
Right.
I mean, what does that situation look like?
What's the power struggle there with Booker and Durant?
Yeah, I don't know. The Clippers.
Who?
Yeah, no. Golden State? Are we done? Are we done with Golden State?
Likely. Rumors are saying that Poole and Green cannot be on the same team.
So they got to make a decision? Well, Green doesn't have that much longer in his career.
No, he's more podcast guy now.
Are they going to go with Poole and say, hey, we can get you right. We just got
to
remove.
Well, it's crazy to say. Steph and Clay aren't that young anymore.
No, and Clay hasn't looked. He still has his moments,
he's not,
but he hasn't looked quite right.
Clay.
Yeah. The Lakers?
Nope.
Minnesota?
Maybe if they figure out what to do with Kat.
What about Sacramento? That could be the team?
Yeah. I said it when they got in the playoffs. I said they're probably a year away from really competing. I could see them getting into the Western Conference Finals next year if their young core continues to develop. Maybe they see what the Nuggets do and try to emulate that.
They're a very energetic team, you know, with De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, Harrison Barnes. Like they have some nice pieces there. How about OKC? Is OKC? They won't probably be ready to be a contender yet, but that's
they're
a young team.
They're
that's
getting
building.
The playoffs team this year.
Well, and they have 4 million draft picks in the first round, so they should be a team to watch out for. That's on the rise, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't see it right now.
Pelicans? Not with what
What's
Zion's
the Zion
doing?
Situation right now, you know? I mean,
it's
that's
paying for girlfriends.
Yeah. So I just don't know. I mean, so when you look at all of OKC, I'm just going back to OKC. They have a how many picks do they have? They have a 12th in the first round. I thought they had more than that. Do they have a bunch of second rounders? And again, this doesn't tell you what they've traded for and stuff. They've got a 37th. I don't know. It doesn't show you 100% like all of their picks. But they're a team to kind of look out for. I just don't know. Is there a team in the West that can slow Denver down? Now, in the East, I fully expect Milwaukee and Boston. Well, do I? Do I expect Milwaukee maybe? Boston has some questions now. I mean, they've got contracts to figure out. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Jaylen Brown's situation.
What's Philly going to do if they lose Harden?
Yeah, and he's still debating whether he wants to go back to Houston.
Yep.
Why would he want to go back to Houston?
Why would James Harden want to
do anything? Strip clubs better in Houston or what? I'm serious. Like,
why does he grow his beard the way he does?
Well, he can't shave it now. It's part of the brand. You just can't do it. He'll never shave that thing. Yeah,
no, I mean, it's tough to really, and it might just be recency bias or homer bias, whatever, but give me a team that you think could beat this Nuggets team.
I don't see a complete team right now that could beat Denver in a seven games in a best of seven series. So, yeah, it does feel like the Nuggets are going to win it again next year? A few questions they'll need answered. We'll take a quick break here. But, you know, the Bruce Brown thing's the big one. How can they keep him on this roster? 15 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. We'll switch gears for a moment. We'll talk to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com in just a bit. But don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Rodeo Radio is back during the Greeley Stampede. Only in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's a championship kind of day here on the whole show. More aftermath from the Nuggets beating the Miami Heat and winning their first ever NBA title. It does have us talking, though. Angel and I were talking a little bit during the break, you know, about these teams that we cover throughout Colorado, throughout Northern Colorado, who has a chance to, you know, be really successful next season. And one of those teams we love to talk about here on the program is Colorado State. And who better to do that with us than CSURams.com's Mike Brohard. Mike, my friend, how are you? I missed you, my man.
I'm just glad your phones are working.
Phones are working.
I would have missed our time today if they'd gone down.
Second day in the new studio, so we're still working out some kinks and everything, but I think we got it worked out.
Well, at least they gave you the keys.
They gave me the keys. When are you going to come down here? We want to get you in studio, Mike. It's not that far.
I was at the old studio. I filled in for you one day a couple summers ago. I don't know. Well, yeah, I guess whenever you invite me in.
You can fill in sometime for me. I always welcome that, my friend.
Yeah, but I'm not sure your listeners do.
No, I beg to differ with you. You have this great, you have a plethora of sports pieces and knowledge of so many different things going on, specifically CSU. But Mike, I'm going to steal the morning show's poll question from this morning. As a fan, and I know you're not, you know, you're a writer, you're a reporter, but as a sports fan, what was the sweetest sports moment in your life that you witnessed, that you saw, whatever, that you were maybe a part of, whatever?
Wow, that's
it's deep, isn't it?
Tough question.
Yeah.
As a fan, when I was a little kid, the Broncos winning their first Super Bowl was pretty cool. As a reporter, I got to cover Elway's last game, the Super Bowl win against Atlanta.
Yeah.
So that was pretty special because I was actually at Mile High when he made his home debut for the Broncos. So I was there for his first game and his last game.
It's hard to beat that. That's one of the greats, no matter what. Where does CSU getting into with this group, where Nico Medved's crew, where does that rank, that crew getting into March Madness? Is that in your top 10?
Yeah, that was pretty high because that was such a good group of kids. I mean, and that's the one thing. The one thing Nico talks about, you know, that team together and the culture that they're building and stuff like that. And generally, if you and I go to a bar, and there's 20 people there, odds are one of them is a jerk, right?
Mm.
So you've got 15 players on his roster. They were all great kids. And you love to see kids like that have success. So that's neat. I mean, when you talk about team stuff, yeah, that's cool. I mean, I was thrilled when Lexi Keller was an All-American because she's such a neat kid. You know, you see kids break records, things like that, and it's all cool. You know, I've seen a bunch of high school state championships. I watched Tyler Graff win, you know, win his fourth state title when he was at Loveland. Watching Connor Medberry as a wrestler pin his way through his senior season, which had never happened before in the state of Colorado, and I don't think it's happened since. You know, to watch those two kids eventually wrestle for the NCAA championship. That's neat stuff. Those are things that you all always remember. Another top 10 moment obviously has to be going and watching Jeremy Bloom compete in the Olympics in Salt Lake, you know, because I've been doing stories on him since he was 11 years old.
Yeah, and it's fun to sit and think about those too, isn't it? Like, we can argue all about stories throughout the season leading up, ask millions of questions to you, Mike, whether a player's coming back. But when you win a title, when you do something special like what we saw with the Nuggets, this is what it's all about. This is what we all do this for, is to celebrate and enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, and that was cool because I remember growing up, I used to go to ABA Nuggets games, Maxie Ryan, and all that stuff. my birthday present every year was to go to a Nuggets game. And my family owned a towing company in Denver back at the time. And one of our tow truck drivers also worked as a bartender that some of the Nuggets players used to go to after games. So he knew some of them. So they had him take me to a game one time, and I got to go courtside beforehand and shake hands with David Thompson and Bonnie Powell and Marvin Webster. It was awesome. I mean, and I was 10, 12 years old. I mean, that was the closest I'd ever been really to anything like that. Though I did shake hands one time with Andre the Giant when I was 12. And
My gosh, I'm surprised your hand still survived that.
It was swallowed up. I mean, it's the largest human being I've ever been that close to.
Wow, that's incredible. Is that, Mike, like, obviously that's why you got into what you do, right? Was those memories growing up and going to sporting events?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously part of the reason. I always enjoyed sports, played sports growing up, and I loved writing. And I took a creative writing course in high school that I loved. Worked on the school newspaper. Those were fun things. And so when it came time to doing it, yeah, that was great. My first interview ever of somebody was Jesse the Body Ventura.
Seriously?
Yeah, and this, the fun thing was this. I was in eighth grade. It was, you know, back in those days, it was like you had to do a report on somebody in their career. And so my stepdad at the time, he was a huge wrestling fan. So he used to go down to the Denver Coliseum and see the AW, the All-American Wrestling, right? And it's like, you know, Jumpin' Jim Brunzel, you know, Precious Paul Ellering, and Jesse the Body Ventura was the bad guy at the time. So we go down to a match, and we're sitting, I don't know, 10th row. And we look over, and there was Jesse the Body Ventura watching, like, one of the undercard things. And my stepdad goes, hands me the program and goes, you should go interview him for your career.
Wow.
And so I did. I actually went up and asked.
Were you nervous?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't strike me as a nervous guy, but at some point I'm guessing you were nervous.
You're 8 years old and this guy is a 6'4 giant. But he was the nicest guy on earth. The only question he would not answer is how much money he made. But he told me about all that stuff. And so, yeah, I went in, and when I announced my report, there were some pretty stunned, you know, drop jaws, one of them being my eighth grade English teacher.
Wow. And that's when you knew. That's when you knew you were going to be doing this for the rest of your life.
I don't know. I mean, that was, like I said, that was my first professional interview. It wasn't a professional interview, but it was the first person I ever interviewed. So, yeah, I've got that in my bag.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love those stories. And it sounds like we're going to be able to share some stories. I got invited to the Cool Club Gang on Friday. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been bugging me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is, you know, this is something that Kevin Lytle and I have decided we need to do over the summer. So, yeah, you've been invited to go sit down and discuss beers with me and him. And then Ryan Pfeiffer is going to join us. And,
wow.
We did invite Jeff Schmidt, but he's whining about the distance that he might have to drive.
Oh, man.
I guess it's got to be close to him. I guess he doesn't consider us close enough friends.
I could walk there from where you and I could walk there, dude, because we're right there. So I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of beers, Moby Arena, talk to us about this. Alcohol will now be sold throughout Moby Arena now, so you don't have to worry about going to that one section and missing out on several minutes of the game. You can have beer or whatever throughout the arena.
When you say you, you don't mean
well,
me.
Not you, because you're media. Although maybe they'll change that.
That's the first question I was asked by members of the media. Does that extend to press row?
That would be cool.
I have not gotten any answer for them on that. it could lead to some very creative story writing.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
very good storytelling for those who are fans of the Rams from multiple sources. But I've not been told. I know. I'm pretty sure it's in my contract. I will not be partaking in that. But I am happy for fans, you know, that they can do it. You can go grab a beer, sit down in their seats, watch a game. I think it's just, I don't know. To me, it's part of the landscape. I think most things that you go to, you can do that. And you can do it at Canvas. So, yeah, now it's in Moby.
Yeah, I love it because, you know, when I go to the press boxes and stuff like at football games and stuff, Mike, I mean, you guys are writers, so you're working during the game. I'm a radio guy. I watch things and then I talk about it later. So I'm always like, dude, I'd rather be out in the stands. I'd rather be out there with the fans at this point. So I was always like, man, that's cool. I get to grab a beer throughout these games, throughout these arenas now. I love that side of it. I'll still try to go as a media guy once in a while, but I'm not that professional, Mike.
So So what you're telling me is now that we're serving beer, we will never see you in the press box.
No, probably not. No problem. Yeah. Well, now, there's something special about it that hits, but then at the same time, you're also like, man, I like going out and being able to capture all of the what the fans are doing, how they're reacting and stuff like that. I don't have to write stories like you do, so you have to be kind of working throughout the game.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, like when we sit in the press box at Canvas Stadium, if we keep the windows closed, you can't really get the crowd ambiance.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, Kyle Neves always open them up. We get there early and about every other window is cracked, no matter how cold it is, so we can kind of get a feeling for the crowd. I mean, sometimes you've been sitting in a press box for so long, like for me, like the first Rockies game I go to every year, I almost forget I can cheer. You know, I'm there as a fan. I'm not there working. Because, you know, there's no cheering in the press box. So it takes me an inning or two to remember, oh, yeah, I mean, if Tovar makes a great play at short, I can stand up and cheer for that, right?
You know,
it's not like anybody's going to judge me for it. But that's true. I mean, if you get to sit in the crowd as a fan, you're sitting next to other people that are having a good time and are really vested in the moment and, you know, their fandom showing, that's cool.
Yeah, this was a big deal for fans, right? I mean, because there was a lot of times you kind of had to choose whether you're going to miss some of the action, maybe a good portion of the action. I remember going as a fan two seasons ago. It was the huge CSU-Wyoming game, and I was there as a fan, and Tanner was with me. And we were like, let's go grab a beer. We waited in line for so long, we're finally like, you know what, we'll just go without. Probably better for my body overall, but yeah, you kind of have to make a decision. Now you don't have to make that decision.
No, I'm sure the crowd will still be, there will still be lines, but yeah, I mean, you got to stay hydrated, right?
Yes, you do. You absolutely do. Have a beer, have a water, have a beer, have a water. Keep rotating between the two. Mike, my man.
Well, I can't go to the Rockies game and do that whole nine-inning challenge of a beer and a dog for nine innings.
Hey, what do you know about the latest with the conference realignment stuff, Mike? I mean, we were hot and heavy on that last week about CU potentially going back to the Big 12, what that would mean for the rest of the Pac-12, what that honestly would mean for Mount West teams like CSU. What have you heard? Anything new?
Well, I think immediately if CU were to go back to the Big 12, that would just mean San Diego State's going to the Pac-12 to fill in right away. I don't think that's everything I've read. That's everything I've assumed. Even if CU, there's going to be some realignment. If CU is not part of it and goes back to the Big 12, they've got other options. I still think the Pac-12 looks to expand. The first thing that's got to happen is the Pac-12 has to come out and they've got to announce, you know, what their media rights deal is, right? And so some people predicted it to be at the end of June. It's probably going to be closer to the end of the summer. Like I saw a really funny video on it. It's gotten so confusing with what the Pac-12 is doing with that media rights deal. Some comedian put out a video and she was saying like one of the options was to be on the CW, which she thought would fit well because, you know, people could watch a Pac-12 basketball game. And at least for a while, some people would think they were watching reruns of One Tree Hill. Right? but until that deal falls, and I thought the other big piece of news that came out last week, and I can't remember if we talked about it, when Notre Dame's AD left, and they've already announced that who's going to replace him is the guy from NBC Sports. And he came out and said, I really like us being an independent. That's a pretty big domino that I think people look for because, I mean, the Big Ten would always want Notre Dame because it would fit perfectly geographically and everything. But I don't think there would be any conference that would say no to Notre Dame. They just seem to be a better fit for, like, the Big Ten, right? Well, if they're taking themselves out of the equation – because they feel that they're still going to get another big deal from NBC Sports for football. They're going to stay as an independent in football, so that's a big domino. So then the next thing is, yeah, does Colorado go back to the Big 12? I mean, obviously, they want to wait and see what the Pac-12 can come up with their media rights deal. I'm going to guess it's not going to be what the Big 12 is getting. And so that would make it more attractive for them to go back.
Well, and that's what's interesting too, Mike. I mean, we've always talked about CSU and the potential of them going to one of the Power Fives. With all this uncertainty surrounding the Pac-12, I mean, if the opportunity presents itself to CSU, do you jump at that opportunity for the Pac-12? Or are you kind of sitting back saying, you know what, we're not going to gamble. We don't know if you'll be around. Maybe we're better off in the Mountain West. I mean, that seems weird to say that, but that could be the truth right now.
There are a lot of those questions being asked by a lot of people. So if you have a mass defection, like if the if the Big Ten and the SEC still decide to expand, and I think part of them, the brain trust in those two conferences, are waiting to see what happens to the ACC. If anybody can find a way in the ACC gap, not the AAC, the ACC. Like, if anybody can find a way to pry a Florida State, a Clemson, a Miami, and have them join, then that's another one down. There's going to be a lot of finagling going around if that were to happen. But, you know, and right now the ACC is still talking about, hey, because right now they have equal revenue sharing amongst all their teams. And so the higher tiered teams, the Clemsons, the Miamis, Florida State, North Carolina, Virginia, they're wondering, okay, we can't keep up at this, but if we had uneven revenue sharing like other conferences have, well, we earn more, we get it. Well, that's what led to, you know, Oklahoma and Texas being able to leave the Big 12 to go to the SEC, right? Because they were getting a bigger piece of the pie that made them more attractive to the SEC because they were able to keep building their programs. So there's, it's a catch-22 on both sides. I mean, you've got to decide what you're going to do. But the ACC, you know, they're the grant of rights deal is pretty – I've read a bunch of stuff. People have tried to find a loophole in that, and lawyers are struggling to find it. So they're kind of stuck.
Yeah, it will be – it's always interesting to follow along with this and see how this is all going to play out, what the future of all this conference realignment stuff looks like, what it looks like specifically for the Pac-12. Mike, what are you cooking up the next couple of weeks now? I know things are trying to slow down a little bit.
So Monday I went out because the men's basketball team got a workout in, and so it was just fun to go watch them work out. So I talked to Isaiah and Drew Scott to talk about kind of what they're looking at this summer. So we'll do some of that, have that coming up. Today we're going to announce the upcoming Hall of Fame class.
Cool.
For TSU. So since I already know who some of those people are and I can't tell you yet.
You can't give us an exclusive?
No, I've already reached out. You know, you don't want to ruin the surprise for you guys at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So, I've been talking to some of the people that are going to be inducted. We're going to do some, you know, like where are they now in their life pieces. And so I think there'll be some people out there that CSU fans will like to hear about and what they're up to now. So I'll be working on those this summer as well.
I think those are always interesting stories, you know, great players that we followed in college or whatever and what they're up to nowadays. I think that'll be fascinating, man. So I look forward to that.
Yeah. You know, these are fun things to do. And like a lot of them are people that I covered in my time as a reporter. So it's great to catch up with them and see what they're doing now. It's fun stuff. We'll start running those at the end of August, and we'll run one a week leading up to Hall of Fame weekend.
All right, my man. I'll be looking out for it, and I'm looking forward to Friday. It's my birthday Saturday, by the way, Mike, so it's an early birthday present for me.
That's why we set it up. It was like an early birthday celebration.
I figured that's what that was all about.
It could be an early birthday celebration where you get to buy the first year.
That's what I was like. I wanted to make sure you knew it was my birthday so I wouldn't be pressured to buy everything. Mike, my man, I'm looking forward to it. Love catching up with you, and we'll see you later this week.
I'm glad your phones work, and welcome to the new studio.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get you in here just to check it out, man. Would love for you to stop by.
That'll be fun.
All right, man.
I like to go
there. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Yeah, he shot me a text yesterday, and he's like, hey, bunch of us CSU media guys are all getting together. So just letting you know, it's Friday. And I was like, I'm in. Wait, were you inviting me, or were you just stating a fact that you were going there? And he said, why would I text you that if I was not inviting you? That would be a jerk move. And then I had to text him this morning and say, Mike, I don't know if we can make today happen because the phone lines aren't working. He's like, I invite you out for beers, and this is how you repay me. It's all about the radio segment for him. That's what he's doing. Just sucking up.
Well, our phones do work.
Phones work, and that's a good thing because, Angel, I have two grandstand tickets here. It's a voucher for it, your choice of any of the PRCA rodeos you want to go to. And then you can come by the new studios to pick these up. We want to thank, of course, our great sponsor, Lemons Heating and Cooling, for allowing us to do these ticket giveaways. I got a voucher right now for PRCA Pro Rodeo coming up. Your choice, two tickets, your choice of any of the PRCA rodeos you want to go to. Let's go caller number 7 right now on the First Advantage Hotline, 970-353-1310. Caller number 7, 970-353-1310. We're going to hook you up with rodeo tickets and come by and see us here at the new and improved KFKA Studios. 39 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Want to shout out to Cable's Pub and Grill. On Tuesdays, it's Burger Madness Day for $9.99. That sounds pretty good. I'm trying to convince. I told the owner of the station, Damon, I'd take him out for lunch in honor, in a way to celebrate him for all this work that he's done here at the studio. So maybe we'll pop by Cable's Pub and Grill. That is where my friends meet. And, of course, Tuesdays, Burger Madness for $9.99.
It's a lot closer to us.
It's so, I talked about that yesterday. It's so close. So I'm loving that. Just where we are and everything. It's great.
It just feels like we're at the center of a lot of stuff.
We kind of are in the central Greeley, aren't we? We're kind of in the middle. It's here on, what is our address? 37-something-something?
3780 there it West is. 10th Street.
3780 West 10th Street. If you know where Chili's is and there's a Honey Baked Ham, like right there, we're in the same building as the Honey Baked Ham. Have you ever had a sandwich from Honey Baked Ham?
No.
I haven't either. I just have people have asked me that. Here's something kind of unique that McLean brings up. Great text. This might be a top text here. Top text Tuesday, $15 gift certificate, Cable's Pub and Grill. McLean says, Jokic has now won the last old style MVP trophy, the first new style, which is the Michael Jordan trophy, right? Is that what it is? The first new style MVP trophy, the first Magic Johnson Western Conference Finals trophy, and the first ever Bill Russell Finals MVP trophy. Because, you know, with the offseason, they made all those names of the trophies of all these great players. That's pretty significant, isn't it? I mean, that, more history. I didn't think about that. That's great, McLean.
And they're all sitting in some Serbian stable.
We don't even know. Yeah, they're probably you probably left them in the locker room. They're like, dude, you forgot your stuff.
He has an apartment in Denver, I found out. I'd imagine they're just on the floor.
Does he
there.
Have an apartment or a house? Because I heard a story. He's like in a neighborhood. And so the story I heard
it was an apartment with his whole family, well, like his brothers and all of that. It may be a big
house. I just picture a tiny apartment for some reason with all these big Jokic's because they would make any apartment seem small. But what I had heard was that he, like on Halloween, he's just wheeling the baby down on the in the baby carriage, just like a regular dude wearing sweats and a shirt and just walking around waving at people. He's just neighborhood gym.
He's just the average guy, man.
And he's like, everybody doing okay? Great. Have a good day. You know, all that stuff. Did you see Aaron Gordon last night going out into the crowd?
So cool to see
outside
it.
Outside like, of the stadium.
That fits Aaron's personality so well.
And the
Nuggets fan base has embraced him. Since we traded for him back in, 2019, whichever.
Yeah.
But this guy goes, he leaves Ball Arena in his game shorts, no t-shirt on, and this massive silver chain around his neck. And he is just swarmed by all these people in downtown Denver.
He's got Ball Arena in the background. He's just kind of walking outside through the front gates like a common folk. And he's jumping up and down in the middle. That is amazing to me. I tweeted this on Friday. Maybe it was Saturday. I just said, I love Joker. I'm a Joker guy. But Aaron Gordon has stolen a piece of my heart, man. And that right there, even more so. You just don't see that.
I remember saying when we made that trade, this is a guy that's going to help them win a championship.
I was
because of his skill set and the way he has fit into this offense.
Yeah,
it was a perfect fit.
Well, who'd they trade? Gary Harris and who else was a part of that trade? I just remember going, okay, I love Gary Harris, but it's Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon was kind of an up-and-coming star for Orlando, so this is going to make perfect sense.
It's Gary Harris and R.J. Hampton.
Ah, R.J. Kind of wondered if he was going to be a player, and so that was kind of the worry with Nuggets fans was, okay, you're giving up perhaps a future dude there. But
necessary sacrifice.
Yeah, Gordon makes perfect sense. For this team. 12:48 the time. We need to take a quick break here. We'll wrap up hour number two. Finish up more Nuggets and Heat talk. More Denver Nuggets finals talk. And questions about the offseason going forward. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Have you guys heard Aloe Fiber has been creating and connecting fiber hoods since 2003? 20 years of disrupting the telecom game and future-proofing communities. Visit alofiber.com. Change the way you experience internet. It's internet without the constant buffering and rebooting. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We are live from those Aloe Fiber studios here. Asking the question today, our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, are we seeing a dynasty here? Are the Nuggets the next NBA dynasty? We act like it's an easy thing that we see it all the time. I think it's just because, Angel, we've seen it a lot over the last 20 years. Spurs, Lakers, the Heat, kind of a mini dynasty there. Golden State's a dynasty. We've seen a lot more dynasties in the last 20 years than we, you know, obviously the Bulls were a dynasty, but there wasn't many dynasties really in between their run and kind of what the Spurs and the Lakers did. So it's a harder thing to do. And for the Nuggets to become a dynasty, yeah, you gotta win at least two more. So it's cool. Last night I Googled list of NBA champions just to see kind of the dynasty stuff. And it firecrackers go off, like on the screen, because it just shows the Nuggets have just won. So you've just crowned a new champion. So that is really cool there. But, Angel, when you go back, I mean, it was the Rockets won two titles in 94, 95, the Lakers in the 80s, the Bulls, of course. But it was after the Bulls dynasty, you didn't really see a new one until you know, the Lakers popped back up, and then in 2000 they were winning like crazy. It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I was just looking. The last team to go 16-4 in the playoffs, the 2006 San Antonio Spurs.
Wow, that was a ridiculous team.
The start of, if not the continuation of, their dynasty.
How do you be careful here and make sure you're not a Toronto or you're not again a Milwaukee? Toronto was a hey, let's get Kawhi Leonard for a year and see if we can win a championship. Denver's not like that, but Milwaukee, of course, yeah, they get their championship. We'll see if they can get back. But when you look at the list of winners, just go back to 2010. Lakers, Dallas Mavericks got one, but that was their one-off. You don't want to be that team. You don't want to be the Mavericks now. Outside of the Mavericks, Toronto and Milwaukee, it's just a smattering of the Lakers. There's the Heat and LeBron. There's the Spurs. There's the Warriors. There's the Cavs and LeBron. There's the Warriors again. Oh, the Raptors squeaked one by. Then you got the bubble Lakers. Oh, Milwaukee squeaked one by. Oh, back to the Warriors. So, you want to try to become one of those Warriors, Spurs, Lakers teams rather than what you saw with the one-offs in Toronto and Milwaukee. And Milwaukee could not be done, of course. Maybe they're the team that stands in front of the Nuggets eventually. But that's the thing, the cross, because it's basically been dominated by those dynasties we just mentioned. Miami and Cleveland, you can almost pool together and say, well, it's LeBron. But you want to try to be that new dynasty and set something up that's really historic like all these teams we're talking about.
Well, it feels like we've come to the end of the superstar, super team era.
Kind of, yeah.
And the Nuggets have presented the mold for how to do it not like that.
They kind of edited what the Spurs did and then edited what the Golden State Warriors did. Isaac Chris says, you guys are making Dixon sick with all this AG talk. He should have been a second star. It was a little weird that Lisa Salters didn't interview Gordon. She interviewed Malone, Joker, Murray, Porter, and no Gordon. I kind of thought that was odd.
Well, they're time constraints. And
yeah,
but only pick three.
But Gordon was, and I get why you did, obviously Joker. Murray makes sense too, but AG was kind of that. He was the second. He was the runner up in many people's eyes as far as the Finals MVP. So, all right, one more hour to go. More aftermath from this, and where do the Nuggets go from here? Big decisions coming up on Jamal Murray. Even he's got 2 years on the contract, but can you get an extension done? Bruce Brown and more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.